If you would, and would you bow your heads, please, for prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a place to meet, people to greet, welcome in here, to share the Word of God. And we just pray that the Word of God will be edified here. And for someone that's lost in here today, we just pray that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And that's what it's all about. George and I was discussing this right, you know, during the break. He said that, you know, what he feels like he's called to do is just share the gospel, teach somebody, just the simplicity of the gospel. Tell them how to be saved, and that's it. But man, that's the biggest thing one man can tell another one. Mankind is how to be saved. And nothing else matters. It really doesn't matter. That is it. So if you want to tell them more, that's fine. But tell them how to be saved. And you can't force it down their throat. You just tell them. And in my own opinion, based upon the scriptures out of Titus, it says give somebody two admonitions and then move on. Because somebody else will listen if they won't. That's really what I believe. You know, when I find myself with my family and certain friends that I just don't want to give up on. You know, I don't feel like I'm going against the scriptures. I'm just wasting my time sometimes where someone else could hear the gospel. Now, with that said, we were just talking about the gospel, the dispensation of the gospel. Now, we're living in that right now. So let me draw the cross, which I haven't done so far. Christ being crucified, buried. I bet you was wondering when I was going to get to this. Huh? And resurrected.
Feeling lonely without.
From the dead. To justify. Is that right? Justification. To pay for my sins. But we're living in this dispensation of the grace of God. And what is the dispensation anyway? It's like an administration. It's a time period, but it's not a time period. But it takes time to dispense the gospel. So when I say it's a time period, but it's not a time period, I don't know any other way to say it. This right here is reality. Paul was saved right there, and we're going to be in here for a certain amount of time before prophecy starts back, and then the 7 years of trials and tribulations and Jacob's trouble is going to be presented by the Lord, the judgment of Israel. So, it has to take time. There's no doubt about it. I've heard people, well, it's not a time period, but there's time involved in it. But he's got to, the Lord wants us to get out and tell everybody about the salvation message. Yes, Joe?
For the time of the Gentiles.
Well, it is called the time of the Gentiles. Absolutely, it is.
Period.
Yeah. But it takes time to dispense this gospel. You know, like we're doing it today. And when you leave here, you may go out to, well, you're not going out to eat today because we're going to eat here. But if you go out to a restaurant or if you go out to a ice hockey game, which I really like, then you're liable to tell somebody about it. And that's what, I would say, you're liable to. You need to. If the time is appropriate. And you say, well, when is it not appropriate? Well, it's always appropriate. But look, you know, I'm off on a cliff here. But if you're out and you're working somewhere, that might not be appropriate at that time unless they bring it up. Because you are working for an individual and you owe them your time. But, you know, there's always a way to sneak it in. Absolutely. You tell people how blessed you are and they will say, what is that? Yeah, you're blessed because you've got a good job. No, I'm blessed because I've got a Savior that died for me and leave it alone. It might stimulate them to ask you another question. This is like Donna, for example. She might be in a conversation with somebody at the hospital or over at the grocery store and say, you know, I got saved. Remember that church down there close to where I live? Yeah, I got saved down there when I was a certain age. God, it's a long time ago. Leave it alone. It might create a conversation like, golly, how long ago was that? Or, is that church still there? You know, it may create some kind of conversation. Now, Jesus Christ has got this time period, and it was a what? It was a mystery. What gets me is when people try to tell you that this period of time was in the Old Testament scriptures. And just think of the count. Hey, you know, by the times of the seasons, we can just look out based upon the scriptures, we know we're getting closer to the end times. You know, Romans chapter 1 talks about the woman leaving the man's body to go with and burn in with another female, and same thing with homosexuality, men going after men. And then this week in the news, there were bestiality in Las Vegas. They caught a woman out there drunk on her lawn. The police were called by the neighbors. She was having sex with her German Shepherd. This is in the broad daylight. And she don't remember any of it. They arrested her, covered her up, and took her in. So what you're living in is a perverse world. It's a perverted world. Pray for the rapture. Lord, just get it on. The fact of it is, it's getting worse. I'm not making up these stories. They're absolutely true. You know, this is some, most of them you don't hear about, but it's always been there. But it's just now becoming... And nobody seems to wink an eye at it. Oh, yeah, she got drunk. Okay. Oh, let's experiment as children. Oh, no, I don't buy that. God didn't put you out here to do that. So, but it's here. Now, salvation today is through... Let me ask you, is it through the rise of Israel? It's
through the fall
of Israel. That's what it is. Now, it just gets me, because people are out blessing a Jew. Just like I heard yesterday about that John Hagee. Oh, God, I love listening to John Hagee, she said. But John Hagee blesses a Jew. He wants you to send your money in so he can get all the Jews back into the nation. But he says you can't be saved unless you bless a Jew. Maybe somebody can explain that to me sometime. Now, salvation is not through the rise of Israel. It's through their fall, and we're going to see that. And today, in this church, the spiritual, invisible body of Christ that we're saved into, with Christ as the head of it, we're all members in particular into that body. We all got our own gifts, etc. But we're in this. Yes, Harry?
Well, I'd shake my hand.
Okay. But there's no Jew, no Gentile, no bond, no free, no male or female in the spiritual body here called the body of Christ. But I still look in here and I see males and females, and I know a female is in here and a male is in here, but the scripture says there's no male or female in the body. I think that's something. It's a spiritual salvation. Spiritual salvation. No bond or free. Do you realize that there were slaves? Slaves in the Bible. Now, you didn't have to be black. You didn't have to be yellow. But there were slaves in there. And the Jews could own them. Could have been my people. And you know what? There's going to be slaves again. They are. Not as slaves as we knew it from us bringing people over from Africa. No, not that type. But there's going to be slaves again. Why did the Bible mention bond or free? Think about that sometimes. Now, we've got to realize the Holy Spirit will now reveal what He wants you to have, to whom He wants to have it, and it's on His timetable when He wants you to get it. What do I mean? Is He going to come down and sit on my shoulder and whisper in my ear? Is God going to speak down? Is He going to rain down lightning on me to get my attention? No. He reveals spiritual things from a spiritual book that the Holy Spirit wrote. And He only reveals it to people that the Holy Spirit dwells in. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Without that, I'm just a natural man. I can't understand the spiritual things of the Bible. If you've got a friend, or even if it's yourself, if you're having problems understanding Scripture, I'm not talking about reading it and pronouncing the words, because I can't even pronounce most of the words in here when you get down to it. The fact is, if you're having problems understanding the Scriptures, then you want to check your salvation. See if you are saved. See if you're in the faith. That's what I'm going to tell you to do. Because we know that Jesus Christ died for everyone. That He was buried and He was resurrected to pay for our sin and sin debt. Whether it's a deliberate sin that you've committed or one that you didn't plan on, it just happened. I don't see a difference between a sin and a sin and a sin, whether it's premeditated or whether it's not. The Lord did not make any distinction between the two. A sin is a sin is a sin, and we need a Savior. And we needed a perfect redemptive substitute, a sacrifice to pay that penalty for us. Because you know what? You can't do it. You just cannot do it. Now I'm going to read you something. You know this by heart. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first, Paul says, of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You might just want to tell somebody the simplicity of that. You know, it's foolishness, the Lord says. The foolishness of preaching. Foolishness of preaching. You know, but He's got to have sinful men like myself and others in here and teachers that will get out willingly, not because they have to, because they willingly want to share the gospel so people can have eternal life. My gosh, I was thinking about that. You know, years and years ago, I just loved to listen to Brother Moore. And I still do if I have time. But the fact that it is, when I got up ready to go to church, it may be like where you're at, most of you today. Because some of you come up here and you take an hour. But I used to love getting up and going to church. I didn't have no responsibilities except showing up and listening. And man, I was jumping up and down about what he was saying out in the Scriptures. Well, I could have read them, but I loved to hear the man speak about these Scriptures. I saw the conviction, and I heard the conviction in his voice, and I saw it in his being. You know, he believed every word that he said, and I like that. That's why I don't like to carry on business over the phone. I want to see you face to face when I talk to you. I want to see how you react to what I say. And you should want to see how I react whenever you hit me with a question or a comment, whether it's good or bad. See how that individual reacts. You can tell a lot about an individual's mannerisms. I like watching people. I can tell a lot about that. But I used to watch Brother Moore. I didn't have all these obligations of trying to get two lessons up here, another one here, one and off, those kind of things. I just come and I listened and I was just blessed. And I was thinking about that this morning. I said, I wonder what these other guys are thinking today. They're getting dressed now as I am. They're going to come up there. They're going to sit there and read a little bit of the Scriptures, you know. They'll be listening and so forth. But what an easy responsibility is to sit there. I'm not criticizing. Believe me, I'm not. But what I was thinking about is the thousands, the millions of people that won't even get up to come in here to listen. Now, what does that take? It don't take nothing to get up and come. You have no responsibility. The only responsibility is if you want to be on time, Richard. I'm just kidding. I know you got a job. But, you see what I'm saying? It's people find it hard to get up. Well, on Sundays, you know, it's only day of rest I get. You know, I work 6 days a week, and I just don't want to get up. Honey, do you want to get up? No. Well, it's kind of chilly. We got a lot of cover pulled up. I'm sleeping pretty good. Let me go. Or maybe you've got something planned every weekend. Every weekend you've got something planned. Especially the weather's starting to get better here in April, May, and June. It's a beach. We live so close to the beach, 18 miles to Navarre. Oh my gosh, one of the prettiest beaches in the world. Pensacola Beach. Oh my gosh, Destin's down here. Panama City's down here. 2 hours. We can be down there by 9 o'clock in the morning. We get up at 7, but I can't make it to church by 10. But I'd be in Panama City from Milton by 9. Something's wrong with their thinking. Isn't it? No, it's their priority. They put their mind, they set their mind on earthly things. And we do those things. I do it. You do it. Don't tell me you don't do it because I do it. We set our minds on earthly things. We've already got plans for when we get through eating this afternoon. Anybody doesn't have a plan that they're going to do this afternoon? Sure you do. Even if it's just to go home, kick back, and watch the Daytona 500. If it's not over, I don't know if it's over yesterday or today. Whatever. I know George back there, he's thinking about playing music or doing something or working in his garden. He's got plans. We all got. You're probably going to work. So we've got plans. But let's make plans to come and listen to the Word. Or how else are you going to be edified? How else are you going to have fellowship unless you get around fellow believers who believe the same thing? Do you want to go? Can you fellowship with somebody in a Baptist church that doesn't preach the truth? Really, can you? You may go because I've got buddies who go there. But you can't fellowship. You don't believe the same thing. That's just what gets me, is how a man and a woman can be married. One can be a Republican and one can be a Democrat. How can they raise a child? A child's going to be pulled apart. It's just like you're preaching right here. I saying, hey, look, all you got to do is trust the salvation message. And you got a church over here that you got lovely, nice people in it. They're all sinners just like us. But the fact of it is, they say, you got to repent. You got to walk the aisle. You got to pray through. And you got to ask for forgiveness. You got to rededicate your life next week because you thought about somebody nude somewhere on the beach. Or you got drunk and now you feel remorse about it. I want to go in and I want to repent. You know, this may be out of context, but it just popped in my mind. That's not new, is it? But, now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Daily Beast. It's a news organization. And this is about the Catholic Church. And they've already published. George, you know about this? You're going to like this. I don't like what it stands for, but you're going to like what I'm going to tell you. But it's exposing. And they've actually printed this about why that Pope they've got has already resigned. You got an idea why he resigned?
I know his excuse. He was not physically capable.
Blind in one eye or something like that.
Right. Physically able to administer the duties of a priest, of a Pope. Well, you know, you've got these priests in there, and we know there's a bunch of pedophiles. You know, the Catholic Church is just a haven for homosexuals, and I'm going to tell you that. But they've got actual videos. They've got testimonies. This has been investigated for quite a few years now. And now they've got them. And these priests are going to be blackmailed. There's a report sitting on that Pope's desk right now, and he don't want to deal with it. He's got a bunch of his priests over there. This is in the Vatican. That are sleeping with transvestites. They got the pictures. They got the testimony. And they're being blackmailed. These priests are. They say it's just like they're sleeping with these transvestites and other men. And they're just making it up just in time for confession. And of course, they go to the Pope and they ask for forgiveness. Did you hear what I said? They go to the Pope and ask for forgiveness. What in the heck can he do for them?
They can forgive them, but it's not going to help them.
They're looking for them blessings. The only way you can get those is from God Almighty. He sent Jesus Christ into this world, and those priests, those homosexuals, can be saved. Every one of them. You know, I'm going to make a broad statement here and tell you this. They don't have to give up homosexuality to be saved. Did you give up sin to be saved? No, you didn't. You still sin on a daily basis. So do I. A sin is a sin is a sin. But do I find an abomination like the Lord for the homosexuality? Oh gosh, yes I do. I don't like it. But I'm not going to deny a man the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, because he chooses that. Am I for gay marriage? Absolutely not. But if he's married, I just hate it. I despise it. But I'm not going to not tell him the gospel. I want him saved. Do I expect him to give up his lifestyle? I would like to, but is he? Did you quit yours? Did you quit all your sins when you got saved? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. So, you're going to expect him, but not you? Boy, that's real right directly to the point, ain't it? You get that? I've heard preachers say, I'm talking about grace preachers. Well, he's not saved if he don't quit being a homosexual. He'd say he trusted Christ, but he really didn't because he's still a homosexual. That's bull. It's not what we like to hear. It's what the Bible says. You either believe it, what it says, as it says it, where is it at, where it says it at, or you don't believe any of it. You have to trust in the spiritual Word of God, and that's where it's found. So, now that I'm off on a tangent, but I thought you might want to hear, that's the latest report, that they are being blackmailed by the other people in the Vatican, and he just doesn't want to deal with it. He's out of there. What can he do with it? What can you do with it? Anyway, now, in time past, wait a minute, before I get to that, what is the why of the cross? Why?
Why did it happen?
What's the why of the cross? The why of the cross is that Christ went to Calvary. Why?
Love.
Love! He loved you first! We weren't chasing after the Lord to be saved. We're lost, despicable. The Bible says we've all gone out of the way. Our throne is an open sepulcher, it says. Oh my God. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Do you believe that about yourself? If you're saved, you had to believe that. Because if you didn't believe that, why do you need a Savior? Is it because of your lust and not your deceit? I came out of the womb deceitful, despicable, an enemy of God, and so did you. The Bible says you're at enmity with the Lord. Boy, that's hard to swallow. The truth is really hard to swallow. And that's why it takes a person to humble themselves, to really see themselves as they really are. I don't care, preachers nowhere, even in the grace movement, will tell you you're just sorry as dirt. But there's a way that you become righteous as God, and that's trusting on something that's already been accomplished for you. Man, when I look out here, I've heard testimonies from most of you. I see people that are just like myself, saved, having the peace of God and the peace with God and the joy in their hearts that they know this is a fact, 100% true. They love other people. They want other people to know the salvation message to keep those people out of hell because we knew we were headed to hell ourselves. And now I can relax. As bad as I am, I can just kick back. And I don't worry about going to hell no more. I'm supposed to live my life in the Lord. I am. Do I? He lives His life through me. And boy, I'm not doing a very good job of it. Anyway, let's get back into the Scriptures here. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, did not have a clue that Christ died on the cross for his sins. So how could he tell people? Now, why do I hear that in congregations everywhere? Peter preaching forgiveness of sins. Why? They're ignorant of the truth. They're not being taught. They're lost. Peter wasn't lost in Acts chapter 2. He would be if this was what was set up for him to trust the Lord and to have eternal life by it. But he was not under this dispensational message. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. He was teaching the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom that will be taught again right here in the tribulation. He didn't have a clue Christ died for his sins. Why do people preach it and preach it and preach it? And then they bring Paul in just a little bit. But Peter's the biggie. And they put Paul in just a little tad. When Peter did not have a clue why Christ died. You know, in time past, God was bound by some things. And his hand, I want to tell you, God, you may say, well, that ain't true, but it was. God's hands were tied. What? God's almighty, all-knowing, and He's omnipresent. Everything about God, He is God. He knows everything. God was bound by His covenants. God was bound by His what? Promises. He couldn't go back on His promises. So what? If He can't go back on His promises, does that mean He was bound by those? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. He was bound by those promises. No doubt about it. To the fathers. He told Abraham something. How about going over to Genesis chapter 12? Let's read about it. Amos is just talking about it. Let's read about it. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, this is before Abraham. This is before the covenants. This is before the promises. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Get away from your kinfolks and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He's talking about Canaan. That's the inheritance. It's called Palestine today. Verse 2, and I will make of thee, you, singular, a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, was that a promise?
Yes.
Could God back out on that? No, he couldn't. There's certain things God cannot do. God cannot lie. If he'd have backed out on that, he'd have lied. God is not a liar. Let every man be a liar, the scripture says. So, who are the descendants of the fathers that we're talking about? It's Abraham. It's Isaac. It's Jacob. Jacob. What's his name? After he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. His name is Israel. But he didn't want to admit that. Because Jacob, the name Jacob, means a rascal, a scoundrel, a trickster, a deceiver. He didn't want to tell the angel of the Lord that's what his name was. But God said, from now on, your name is going to be called Israel. You are no longer Jacob. Can you imagine? Now listen. Can you imagine what took place during that time period? God talked with people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'd freak out if God talked to me today. I really would. Because I know that's not real. Do you all know God's not going to come down and speak to you with an audible voice? He only speaks through the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures. So if you've got somebody tweaking in your ear, it ain't God. No, it's not God. Now, Genesis chapter 3, chapter 12, verse 3. You know, this is where they get this blessing, this blessed you. And I will bless them that bless thee, God told Abraham, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is where Hagee and all them other Pentecostals and whoever's preaching this, blessing a Jew comes from right there. Because they don't want to be cursed. They don't want to be cursed. They're not cursed any longer. The curse hung right here. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Whoa, he took the curses, Jim said, right out from us. It's no longer. Righteousness is no longer by the law. No longer by the law. How about going over to Hosea, would you? How do you know when they rejected, I'm talking about Israel, when they rejected the king and their kingdom, when God set them aside? How do you know that? Go to Hosea chapter 1. Let's talk about verse 8 and 9. Remember, the Jew had precedence over the Gentiles, and specifically over us ungodly dogs. We were without hope and without promise in the world. We didn't have a dog's chance, and you know what, to get out of here alive. Now we do. We can have eternal life. But, in Hosea chapter 1, verse 8, now when she, that's the wife of this guy in here, had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, man, I can't even imagine. She conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name, her son, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Right there, it took place. Lo am I means, you're not my people. He's talking to Israel. You're not my people anymore. But if you read further on in that chapter, you're going to find out. They will become God's people again. At the Valley of Jezreel, they will become His people again. but not now. Through their fall, not by their rise, not by being exalted above all nations as they were, but through their fall. In Romans 11:11, salvation came unto the Gentiles. But it didn't come to us, the ungodly Gentiles. It came unto those Gentiles that blessed the seed of Abraham. We'll see in Ephesians in a minute, maybe, where we're involved. Now, so Paul is the new apostle raised up by God Himself through Jesus Christ with a new message. In Romans chapter 11:13, I'm just going to read it, you know it. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. He did not say, I'm the greatest, because I've got all this information, not because I'm a chosen vessel. He said, I magnify mine office. That office is the office of the apostleship of the Gentiles. Paul lived his life now as if he had already been resurrected from the dead. He tried to live. But even in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, he said, what I've done, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I do. But it's not me that doeth it any longer. It's sin that dwelleth in me. Even Paul, the greatest apostle ever walked the face of the earth, he couldn't do some of the things these preachers out here can do. You know what I'm saying? At least they think they can do. They can't do it. But they think they're greater than the Apostle Paul, chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Ask them. If you don't see people raising other people from the dead, no, I know Paul did that with Eutychus, but he didn't do it again. These preachers you got out here, and these Pentecostals, and these, what is that other similar? The Assemblies of God. When you see those so-called miracles, you can believe they're real. But it's not of God. I remember specifically Jeff telling me some stories about that one little kid down there that was violent and stronger than him and another man. How old was he, Joe? 12, 10?
No, about 7 or 8.
Picking up sofas and throwing them around the room. That's real. But it's not of God. It's of Satan. Where do you find it? When you see those miracles today in those churches, and they're happening, when you see those, wouldn't that make you, if you didn't know the truth, wouldn't that make you believe in that denominational system that they're in? It would me. But the first time I ever saw somebody speaking in tongues, it scared the living, you know what, out of me. I just wanted to get out of there. And I didn't know anything, absolutely nothing about the Bible. I just went with someone. Holy mackerel. I saw that. I caught myself saying that all the time, guys. Holy mackerel. Where I got that, I must have been a kid when I got that. But if you bear with me, I catch myself saying now all the time also. So, but when I saw that, this preacher was just garbling. It wasn't unintelligible, is what it was. And it scared me. But if I'd have seen somebody there, a little kid like Joe saw, that's just one example he's got, taking this podium here and slamming it up against the wall. And, oh, man, gosh. What would you think? What would you think? Needless to say, Joe no longer goes there. You can figure that out for yourself. Now, Paul, through the fall of Israel, a new administration, a dispensation started right here. As Paul as being the first, the pattern that we should follow him as he also followed Christ, the risen Savior. Not the Christ that walked around for the 3.5 years. Whatever. Now, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, this is pertaining to us ungodly Gentiles. Paul says in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, this dispensation of the grace of God was given to Paul to dispense. To who? To you, you ungodly Gentiles. He'd already been dispensing it to the people, the Jew first, and also to the people in the covenants of promise. But not to you. Not until now. Remember, Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, how that my revelation, that revelation came from the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He made known unto me, He showed me the mystery, as I wrote, it says afore, but that means before in a few words, and He did write before about this mystery. There's not only just one mystery, guys, there's numerous mysteries. Ask somebody sometime that's in a denominational system. I'm talking about, don't ask somebody in the congregation. That's the preacher. Say, man, can you tell me about the mysteries Paul preached about? And he's going to say, well, you know, I had it in seminary, but why don't you enlighten me? And I forgot. It's been so long since I've been. They're not going to know about the mysteries. Why is it a mystery after 2,000 years? Satan wants it to stay a mystery and not anybody to know about it. Ain't that something? Now, you and I, we weren't in this. We weren't in the covenants of promise. But now it's opened up when that middle wall was taken down. And I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 12. Man, thank God that we're not saved through the ministry of Peter. I'd never be able to endure to the end. can anybody say truthfully we endure to the end?
That is not good news.
That's not good news for us. It was good news for them, but it's not good news for us. I couldn't do it. God gave them the power to endure to the end and to die, but He didn't give us that power. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body, now we're talking the body, the spiritual invisible church, the body of Christ, is one and hath many members, and I'm a member, and if you're saved in here, so are you. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, the next verse. We ought to just jump up and shout and praise the Lord for this next verse. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter never ever, I'm telling you, show me if you can, Peter never ever talked about the body of Christ. He never mentioned the body of Christ. He didn't know about the body of Christ. He was a great apostle. Have you ever found in here that he knew about it? He preached it. Only Paul did. Never talked about something else he didn't do. He didn't talk about the body, but he didn't talk about the gospel of Christ. Why? Because he didn't know about it. Until Galatians chapter 2. After 14 years, Paul says, I went up by revelation and communicated unto these, I'll say elders. And in Peter, which was known as Cephas then, James was the ringleader of the 12, the little flock, the ones at Jerusalem. He communicated that to Peter, James, and John. Okay, this is the gospel of Christ, which I've been preaching to the Gentiles. That's when Peter found out about it. But you know what? God wouldn't let Peter go out and preach it to anybody. They shook hands. The great commission that God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, gave to the apostle Peter, back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guess what? Peter put an end to it right there in Galatians chapter 2 and agreed with Paul and said, we will only go to who? The circumcision. Because see, Jesus Christ told him, said, you start in Jerusalem, you go into Judea, then you go into Samaria, and then you go into the uttermost parts of the world. That included everybody but us. That included the Gentiles that blessed the seed of Abraham. But that, right there, Peter had the keys of heaven. And he said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And he did it. Jesus Christ gave him the power to do that. He stopped the Great Commission. It's not there. If it is, show it to me. He stopped it. Peter never, ever went to but one Gentile anyway. And that was Cornelius. But he never, ever went to another Gentile in the Scriptures. So he either disobeyed God, which he didn't, and just said, no, I'm not going to go to those Gentiles you told me about in Samaria. Those mixed breeds, and that's what they were. That's why the Jews didn't like them, because they were mixed. And to the uttermost parts of the world. That was to the people who blessed the seed of Abraham, the Gentiles. Peter never, ever went. So if you can't see that, study that, because Peter never, he stopped the Great Commission. Now, with that said, Peter preached the fulfillment of prophecy and the rise of Israel, not the fall. And it changed right here. Prophecy was, God says, time out. I'm putting prophecy on hold. You've rejected my son, my beloved son.
Thank you.
And I'm changing the administrations. I'm changing the dispensation. I'm giving a new gospel out there. And that's what he did. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's talk about that real quick. Go about through. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, you remember what I said, that we were not in the covenants of promise. We're going to read it. Wherefore remember, Ephesians 2:11, that you, being in time past, he's talking to the Ephesians, not just in Ephesus in the synagogue. No, no, no. He wrote a letter to the Ephesians. He wasn't there talking to them. He wrote a letter to the Ephesians while he was a prisoner in Rome. That you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, that's us. Whatever fleshly thing we could do, we do. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Well, that's, of course, that's the Jews. It's called us the uncircumcision. That at that time you were without Christ, and we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We were not included in the covenants of promise, that those Greeks were involved, even though they were Gentiles. They were the pet dogs. We're the wild dogs. We weren't even thought about as being saved, having no hope and without God in the world. Did you really see what it said? You had no hope and you didn't have God in the world. No hope, no hope, no hope. You didn't have any hope. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all in Jesus. It's the faith of Jesus. It's the faith of Christ. Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's the finished work of the cross. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were made, who were far off, are made nigh, near by the blood of Christ. Salvation today is not by repentance, good works, enduring to the end. Goodness gracious.
Baptism.
I left that out. Thank you. It's because of the gospel of the grace of God. Alone. You heard that word? Alone. Gospel of the grace of God. And it's because of the faith of Christ. We all got different measures of faith in here. You've heard about people praying, saying, Lord, give me more faith so I can believe. That's hogwash. He gave every person in this room and every person listening a measure of faith, and I guarantee you it's enough. He didn't leave anybody lacking that needed it. He didn't leave anybody lacking. Now, if you would, go over to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, he sent his son, his beloved son, to die on a cross. I guess the whole world knows Jesus Christ. They know the name. Even they don't believe in him. Even the Muslims think he was a prophet. They just don't trust in his salvation message. They don't trust in him. The Jews are just as lost as the Muslims. I said that last week. They believe he was a prophet. They don't believe he's the Savior. The little flock did. But the Jews don't. Now, in 1 Timothy 2:4, you ain't got to go there, but you could if you want. The will of the Father is that all men be saved. That's His wish. That's His request. But, since the foundation, or before the foundation of the world, when He spoke that first grain of sand in, He knew right there, before He ever spoke it into existence, who would be saved and who would not be saved. He knew the gospel was going to be presented to everybody in this room. He knew you were either going to trust it or you wasn't. We're talking then. Ever how many years ago that was? Ever. And we don't know how long that was. I'm going to say it's millions or billions of years. I'm not talking about what Hovind said, Ken said downtown and run the dinosaur story over in Pensacola. I know he's serving his sentence right now in a federal pen. But Ken's a brave man. He just got it wrong. He just got Ken Hovind. He's got it wrong. But the will of the Father is that all men be saved. He had to have it that way. He couldn't pick and choose as Calvinism does. Calvin, the 5 points of Calvinism. Look it up sometime. Tulip is an acronym. Hey, in that, some of these people in here lost going to hell because God predestinated it to happen. Man, I'd hate to be in that bunch. How can I believe in Calvinism? Some people are predestinated to go to hell. Some predestinated to go to heaven. Man, you're just in the wrong bunch. You're out of love. That's garbage. Garbage. You like the way I say these things? I'm just down to earth. I'm a country. I'm going to tell you like it is. Now, we're living in an age, guys, in an age that's called the time of reconciliation. When all things are brought back together, you and I, humans, are brought back together with God. Remember, we were separated in the Garden of Eden. But now, we have been reconciled. It's done. You can't change it. But it's not placed upon your account until you trust in the shed blood of the Lord. Trust it in the simplicity of His gospel. Then it's placed upon your account. Judicially, it happened. But it's not just automatic. We know, and I first learned it from Brother Moore. And since then, I've studied it and studied it and studied it. And he's absolutely right. It's not a sin that anybody commits in here that will send them to hell. Not one. Why? Because all sin has been placed upon a perfect sacrifice without blame. All sin and all sins. It's your unbelief in what was completed at the cross of Calvary. The place of the skull. It's all there. There's not a thing that you can do except trust. Don't try to add works to anything. I don't care how much you respect that man. And I started to say woman, but that, boy, that would have been a slip of the mouth. A man is the one who teaches. Now, let me continue with it. I'm going to read some scriptures. You can go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, and we're about to wrap it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. And you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14 through the end of the chapter, is our greater commission than ever was given. But, we're going to start chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Thank God for that. I don't want my trespasses imputed unto me. Oh, no, 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 no. Please, Lord, don't do that. And He made a sacrifice for me. Boy. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I am reconciled. Can everybody in here say they've been reconciled?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be made sin, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, if you have been made, and it just said you were, if you've trusted the gospel, if you are made the righteousness of God in him, and this is not a trick question, are you as righteous as God?
Yep.
Yes, you are. Amen. It just said that. If it's God's righteousness, you are as righteous as God is. Boy, I know people don't like it. You're saying we're like God? No, we're not deity. But we have that righteousness of God placed upon our account. Three more verses, guys, and we're through. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8.
You're probably getting hungry.
I don't hear car keys shaking yet. For, and this is Trisha's favorite verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And there's more people in this world that do not believe that verse. They want, and they don't accept it as a gift. They want to work. Yes, Jim?
Their faith is in themselves. It says, for by grace you say, through faith, that not of yourselves. Their faith is in themselves.
Is in themselves. That's obvious to see, but how many times do you hear somebody talk about that? I never heard anybody else bring that up, but that's what I'm saying is, that's obvious. Other denominations, and we're not a denomination, they won't let that be said in their church. No, they won't. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. You mean to tell me that you can't work yourself into salvation? Of course you can't. But they want you to think you can by walking the aisle and rededicating your life. Richard, you've been a scumbag this week. You need to walk the aisle and pray through. Repent.
Turn from your sins.
Isn't that something? It's something that the church wants you to do. That's a work. And if you can work it, then God owes you a debt. He's got to save you, right? No, that ain't the way it works. Not by works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness. Now, verse 10. Now, I'm wholeheartedly into this. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created. I want you to see that word. It doesn't say born again. In relation to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we're created a new creature in Christ. If you cannot be created and born again at the same time, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, He didn't predestinate you to do them, but He ordained them after He saw you would trust in His Son to do good works. The good news today is that you don't need to do any work to find favor with God. Just trust in the simple gospel, the blood of Christ. That's all you got to do. It's called the finished work of Christ. That's what it's called. You know, and just like Jim brought up, people want to trust in something they can do in themselves. You can't do that and make it to heaven.
Ego.
Vanity, ego. Well, we got to watch ourselves because we've all got something like that. Now, what we got to do is humble ourselves, trust the Lord, and it's a done deal. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Remember I said God cannot lie? He said that He sealed me until the day of redemption. I'm taking Him at His word. If you haven't trusted the gospel of your salvation yet to inherit eternal life, please do that today. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to add some. Tell somebody about it. You ain't got to tell me, but tell somebody about it. So you remember when I was talking before the class started about I was that man's testimony. When somebody dies in here, then are you going to be their testimony? Or are you going to have someone out there that knows your testimony that we can all run up to and say, That's that man's testimony. That's that lady's testimony right there. It could be Joseph Savelli. It could be somebody like Mary Jane's testimony. Maybe the only person that ever knew. But tell somebody so they will know your testimony. And it will be a comfort to your family and friends in the end time of your demise when you go to sleep in the Lord. Not die, but go to sleep in the Lord when you're in the presence of the Lord. Let's eat.